Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before this episode begins, I have some back page projects to tell you about. Let me begin with Pep's City, a new book by Luis Martin and Paul Balus, who have been embedded with Manchester City for much of the past three seasons. I've known Lou for years, most of my time in Spain. He's not only a fantastic storyteller, he has contacts that you would struggle to believe because in the modern era, journalists aren't supposed to get that close to football people. He does. In fact, he's close friends with Pep Guardiola and all his extended family. Indeed, Pep, along with some colleagues, wrote Pep's only, to date, autobiography just after he left Football Club Barcelona in 2001. Lou and Paul gradually earned total access to Manchester City, and you'll see that reflected in their description of the structures, the idea, the atmosphere, the people, the anecdotes. I think along the road, they both fell a little bit in love. It's a good page-turner. It will bring you right inside the heart of this project, telling you about Guardiola's emotions, ideas, when he's tired, when he's ebullient, who helps him, which players fall in and out of favour. It's everything you'd want from an inside story. Whether you're interested in City or separately in Pep Guardiola or any of his superstar players or how a huge operation like that looks from the inside, you'll find plenty in this book that you didn't know. Next up is Astroball, The New Way to Win It All by Ben Reiter. Even if you don't speak baseball, if you're interested in where any pro sport and especially elite football is heading in terms of recruitment, data and optimization, then you need to read this inside account of how the worst team in baseball were turned into serial winners thanks to a strategic revolution. It's Moneyball, the next chapter. And while I have your attention, are you paying attention? Neil and Martin, who produce this show and whose voices you probably love hearing every now and again on the question and answer sessions, they've got another podcast called Between the Lines. It's interviews with sports writers who explain the stories behind a book or a piece of long form journalism. It's the medium I like most when you get somebody to explain how something works, how it came together, how it was constructed, how it was planned. I love hearing things like that. It calms me. It interests me. And I guess that there's a thread of that running through what we try to do in the big interview, in that when we get elite coaches or footballers sitting down with us, we want them to explain. We want them to tell the stories from the inside out. Lift the lid, I think it's called. This is most certainly what this new podcast that Neil and Martin produce does successfully. It's interviews with sports writers who tell the stories behind a book or a piece of long-form journalism. A new season of this podcast is running right now. It features excellent writers like Oliver Kay of The Athletic, Andy Mitten, who interviewed Diego Maradona for 442, and the season will close with a documentary about a much-loved football book, The Miracle of Castel di Sangro. Subscribe now, please, to Between the Lines by Backpage and get the new season as it goes out, plus great archive interviews, including Henry Winter, Mike Calvin, and some fella who wrote a book about Spain's tournament treble.
Even if you never watched Andrea Orlandi play, even if you're not a big Barcelona or Swansea or Brighton fan, even if you don't follow Italian second division football or Indian football. Andrea Orlandi is somebody I've been working with on La Liga television recently, and he's extraordinary. He's easily one of the best television analysts of football I've ever worked with or listened to. And what's more, he shared a dressing room with Leo Messi, Xavi, Iniesta, Ronaldinho. He'll tell us interesting things about a future guest on The Big Interview, Brendan Rodgers, who he counts to be the best, spoiler, amongst a group of coaches which he had, which includes Gus Poyet, Michael Laudrup, Frank Rijkaard, Paulo Sousa, and on and on and on. You're going to love Andrea Orlandi because he's exceptional about explaining the beauty of football, a life in football, and he speaks better English than what I do. See you on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll be no surprise to you that this is The Big Interview, because that's what it said on the tin when you bought it in the supermarket, and therefore when you get the tin opener out, you didn't expect baked beans, you expected The Big Interview. Hi, it's Graham, if this is the first time you've heard me. Where have you been? We're sitting in a very high tech, it's actually Toby's office. Andrea, you don't know Toby, but it's a pretty cool office, right?
It is cool. Absolutely. Yeah.
It'll do for... It's not good enough for you, but it's way too good for fucking me. Guys, we're with Andrea Orlandi today. And the reason that we've invited this talented footballer, talented Catalan, Italian footballer, to come on The Big Interview is that I've been working on television now since the very early 90s. Off and on, and they don't cast me in any of the big dramas or movies, which I think is wrong, but football people seem to get me on television, and I've found it really, really rare to hear a voice, and I've warned Andrea that I'm going to lavish syrup all over him because of the praise, to hear a voice as sharp, as analytical as you, and for those who listen to The Big Interview, and for those who help produce it with me, we yearn to hear football criticism and football analysis, which educates us. Because each of us involved in this project, the socios and the occasional listeners, all want to expand their knowledge and to learn. And that's what you've done with me. So, first of all, Andrea, you're an exceptional TV pundit, but you had an exceptional career behind you too. So... Buenos dias, buen dia, good morning. I don't know if you can do good morning in Welsh. How much Welsh have you got?
Well, not much Welsh.
Very little.
Very little. It was difficult. I mean, I had the chance to live both in Wales and El País Vasco, the Basque country, and I had the same problem, you know, with the language. I learned a few words of Welsh, but not much, not too much.
Well, the intro has already explained that you're a footballer who's worn the tangerine of Blackpool.
Yep.
And the various shades of Swansea strips.
Yep.
You've carried a seagull in your heart since the days of Brighton. But you're also of Blaugrana. You're a Blaugrana pupil.
Yep.
And supporter too. So... Andrea, I want to take you back to one of the things that links us, and I don't know if you... I was a Cub Scout at the time. I don't know if there's a scouting association in Spain where it's Baden-Powell and you do your duty and you learn how to build campfires and tents and stuff like that. I was in 1976. Mm-hmm. I was a 12-year-old, and we entered a team in a five-a-side tournament in Aberdeen. And I was a little Cub Scout. And it was Cub Scouts against the rough boys from the centre of the city. And unbelievably, literally unbelievably, I can see the disbelief in your face. In May 1976, we won this tournament. And as the striker, Poacher, who stayed up front all the time and didn't do any work back, I did a Paolo Rossi. In the quarterfinals, I got 3 goals. In the semifinals, 2 goals. And in the final, 1. Happiest I've ever been in my life. I come back home. And my mum and dad tell me that Bayern Munich, who I hated, because Ajax had won 3 straight Champions League European Cup, starring my idol, Johan Cruyff. Uh-huh. And then Bayern Munich won 1, and then 2, and then the third against Saint-Étienne in Glasgow at Hampden Park. 1976. Now, 1976, 86, 96, 2006. 29 years later, Saint-Étienne demand an anniversary game. And the anniversary game is against Football Club Barcelona.
Yep.
Now, you play in it. You play in that game for Football Club Barcelona at Saint-Étienne in a friendly match.
Yes.
Try and set the scene of who you travelled with, who you were playing with, and what it felt like to be in that company.
Well, it was just an unreal experience. We travelled. I remember we had obviously I had my seat on the plane, so I had like a full row for myself. I had six seats, and that was impressive. And I thought, wow, that's different. I remember landing in Lyon with Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho had to play in that game. Obviously, he was the main
by contract.
And he was a rock star. He had the security all around him. All the fans were out. For Ronaldinho, and I was like, "Am I really here? Is that happening? Actually happening?" So that was the building up for the game. We were having lunch together with the players. Ronaldinho was sitting next to me, and I was shaking. I was like, "Come on, you know, I couldn't even eat my spaghetti." I was that nervous, and it was only a friendly game, but for me, it was like the Champions League final. So he was trying to, you know, to make me feel comfortable. There were three or four players of the B team there. And, when we got into the stadium, beautiful stadium, Saint-Étienne, it was packed full, brilliant atmosphere. I remember Buffetimi Gomis was playing there. Piquion was playing there.
Piquion played up front.
Played up front.
Missed a couple of chances.
Yes.
And then Buffetimi scored.
Yeah, Gomis scored.
Yeah.
I had the chance to speak to Gomis, you know, years later, and he remembered that game. He was only young. And obviously, 60 minutes into the game, Santi Ezquerro was playing as a left winger. So Rijkaard just calls me and says, "Listen, just warm up for 2 minutes, you're coming in." And I thought, okay, let's give it a go. So I just had this quick warm-up. Rijkaard comes to me and says, "Well, you're playing as a left winger, replacing Santi Ezquerro." And I said, okay. I said, "Okay, coach, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Well, just do something. You don't need to do much to do better than Santi." And I thought, wow,
okay.
that's a bit harsh on Santi Ezquerro. And I went, okay. So I just went out. I remember Edmilson telling me to stay wide because he was going to play...
Wide left.
So first minutes into the game, he plays this diagonal ball, like 50 meters, like into my left foot, perfect. So I control the ball. With the control, I get past the fullback. And I'm thinking, okay, I was on. I was straight on, going to the center back. I said, "This is my chance." So I had the chance to pass the ball to Ronaldinho or to go one against one with a center defender. And I thought, in my brain at the time, I thought it was a good idea to take him myself. Obviously, it didn't happen. I lost the opportunity. And so I looked at Ronnie like a bit shy. And he didn't say anything. But, you know, just looking at me, he was like, "Come on, man, next time, give it to me." So as the game progressed, you know, I tried not to complicate things and play easy. I was linking up with Silvinho, you know, not taking too many risks. Ronaldinho scored a beautiful free kick, an unbelievable free kick. And
one of these find the dope moments when the wall was mucking about and the keeper wasn't quite right, and he just went right, and from about 25 meters,
it's straight into the top corner. And I remember him training. And after every single training session, he would stay there with Jorquera, who was the second goalkeeper, taking free kicks from outside of the box. And he would put 9 out of 10 on the top corner. It was like, wow. It was impressive. I used to stretch. I'd never stretched in my life. And I used to do stretching for 45 minutes just to see him doing that every single training session. So he just scored a beautiful free kick. We were losing 2-1. Last minute of the game. I remember that my whole life. And I'm on the pitch, but I'm like watching TV. I was like, is this real? So I see this guy getting past one.
It was
unbelievable, Graham. But then I'll tell you what happened later. Then he gets past one, gets past two. I'm on the corner, you know, on the edge of the box, on the left, and he just gives me this no look pass. So the ball is coming. He's looking right, gives it to the left. So he gives the ball to me, to Andrea Orlandi. And I'm thinking, wow, what am I gonna do? So I remember what happened in the first minute of. So I said, "Listen, I'm gonna go easy with the inside of my foot and try to play the ball." What happens is the ball bounces before I'm gonna hit it, and it ends up like 10 yards outside, you know, on of the crossbar, you know, on top of the crossbar. So there was, I remember, Belletti there, I think it was Maxi Lopez, Ronaldinho, all looking at me in despair, like thinking, what is this guy doing? And the referee blows the whistle, so the game ends. I walk into the dressing room and I felt like so small. I felt like the smaller player on earth. Like, I don't deserve to be here. I mean, they're too good for me. You know what I mean? So it was difficult to take, because then you don't have players coming to you. Even if it was a friendly, this is Barcelona. This is like the top university in football. So you need to be at the level, even if it's only a friendly game. And I thought to myself, okay, that's a challenge. I don't know if I will have another opportunity, but I didn't take this one. You know, and it was a great opportunity to show, you know, that I was maybe not good enough to play at Barca, but to have more chances to play for them. And I remember being on the shower, no one was talking to me, showering next to Belletti, Ronaldinho, Van Bommel, Edmilson, these type of players. And honestly, Graham, I felt so small. I had the quickest shower I had in my life, got changed, get back into the bus, you know, and we flew back from Lyon. But it was a really good experience, because I took the positive part of it. I thought, I had 30 minutes at a beautiful stadium, you know, playing for Barca. I played with Ronaldinho. He had the belief in me, because he gave me that ball. You see players sometimes that if they don't trust the other player, you know, he wouldn't have given me that pass. And it was a big lesson. And I made sure that the next time I was ready for it. Because obviously I remember everything that happened. I remember what I ate. I had this spaghetti tomato sauce with tomato sauce, which I couldn't eat. I remember the conversations I had with Belletti about how he got his passport, his Italian passport. Ole Gerr was there, brilliant guy, you know, talking to me, trying to help me. But then again, I wasn't ready for the game. I wasn't mentally ready. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's not that I didn't take it seriously. All the opposite. I took it too seriously. So it wasn't me playing out there. It was I was too nervous. So that was a big lesson for me, because when I had the chance to play again and to train again with them, I made sure that I was ready for it.
Well, so that people understand, you've named most of them, but that the team that night was Valdes, Belletti, Rodri, who had a couple of chances, Olegar, Silvinho, Edmilson, Van Bommel, Thiago Motta, Esquero, Maxi, mad chicken celebration Maxi, who really wasn't Barcelona quality. Maxi, I'm sorry, he's still playing.
He's still playing for Crotone in Italy.
Ronaldinho,
yes.
And Jorquera comes on, you come on for Santi, and Damia comes on for Rodri. Coach was Frank Rijkaard. You've explained the situation and who you played with and the lasting impressions, but this is in the season that the team you play with become European champions.
Yep.
They win the Champions League in Paris against Arsenal. So you're at a very high level, and already you've talked about the mental component.
Yeah.
And, you know, you said you became ready for the next time, and you trained regularly with the first team because Rijkaard, as well as the players, saw something in you. You actually also won a trophy with Barcelona. Because you beat Espanyol in the Copa Catalunya. Very good Espanyol side, coached by the current Barcelona manager, Ernesto Valverde,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And equally, that team that you play in is very good, and it's taken relatively seriously here. You play in a team with Jorquera, Belletti, Olmo, Olegar, Servinho, Sastre, Mota, Mark Rosas, who went to Celtic and played for a long time in Mexico, may still be there, Giovanni Dos Santos, plus Esquero, against a team that had Gorka, Chica, the good fullback, Danny Harkey, who we'll come back to, Corro, Ruffetti, who's currently
sports director
at Espanyol. You lived in elite company, but was this one of the games, the game against Espanyol, where you then were ready, or when were the times that you began to say, okay, from Saint-Étienne, I've learned to focus, I've learned to visualise, I've learned to eliminate nerves and stage fright?
I played in the league before that, at San Mamés, and I had, you know, a lot of training sessions with the first team, because Silvinho, I won't say that he didn't like training, but you know, sometimes he wasn't ready to train, because he was taking care of himself, you know, ready for the games. And Rijkaard was using me as a left back most of the times with the first team. And I remember that first training session that I had after that experience at Saint-Étienne, that was me. that was me. You know, I took things simple, but, you know, it was great and I was enjoying myself. And I could see that, you know, the first team players looking at me thinking, okay, this guy, you know, is not bad. So I earned some respect and I earned a lot of confidence because when you are training with these players and you see that trust in you, you think, wow, okay, there must be something in me. You know, I'm not that bad. I'm not the guy that played at Saint-Étienne badly, but this is me. And obviously I made my debut in La Liga against Bilbao at San Mamés as a left back, you know, against a strong side, and I had a good game, you know, and everyone was, you know, was happy with my performance, especially Frank Rijkaard. And I had another game in Copa Catalunya against Nàstic Tarragona when I had two assists. And I remember
two crosses
for Giovanni and for Esquerro.
Esquerro scored, yeah.
And I remember that was great because as I was walking back into the dressing room, Rijkaard was waiting for me. And he's a big boy, you know, strong.
Yes.
So he just, you know, gets me in the air like, you know, he just throws me.
A bear hug.
Yeah. A bear hug. And he goes, "You are the left-footed David Beckham." And he goes like... And I was like living the dream. I was like, is this really happening? You know, I was the happiest man in the world. And obviously that game against Espanyol in the final, we got that, you know, we lifted that, you know, little trophy, that Copa Catalunya, that for me, it was like the Champions League. You can't allow yourself to lose if you're Barcelona. And especially against Espanyol is, you know, it's a big game. And I remember Xavi, who wasn't involved, coming to the stadium to watch the game, you know, coming into the dressing room after the game, you know, to talk to us and to congratulate us for the win. So we beat them on penalties. I remember, you know, it wasn't an easy game. But I was ready, Graham. Every time I had the opportunity, you know, I took it. And obviously my situation at Barcelona was a bit, you know, a weird one because I was on loan from Alavés. And then they wanted to sign me permanently. But I don't know if you remember, there was that moción de censura with Joan Laporta that summer.
Effectively, for those who don't know, means that the members, the socios, had sufficiently lost confidence in him. And it's the time when Sandro Rosé, his vice president, walked out. Yeah. Wrote an open letter in the media saying, Johan Cruyff, leave my club alone. Laporta, you rely too much on Cruyff. He walked away because you played at San Mamés in the match day 38. You're a league champion.
You are a league
champion of Spain.
Yeah.
You won the title. That's a fact.
That's a fact, yeah.
And the censure motion was some fans wanted to say, we want to vote Laporta out because of your behaviour, blah, blah, blah. So, you, like you say, it was turbulent times, which affected you a little bit.
Yeah, it affected me because Barcelona made a first offer to Alavés to sign me permanently. But this happened, so everything was stuck. So I got stuck in between Alavés and Barça, and I ended up going back to Alavés, which obviously, with all respect to Alavés, who was a great club, you know, they gave me the opportunity to become a professional footballer. They took me from Barcelona to Vitoria. It was a great experience, but being a Barcelona boy, playing for Barça, I really wanted to sign for Barça. And then when you are, when you belong to a club like this, you know, it's a different story, Graham.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can you tell me how many European or international trophies your managers won? If
no.
You can, I can. So, dear listeners, we're talking to a guy, and already I think he's done something special for you. I feel this. They call it piel de gallina here. The hairs in the back of the neck are standing up because you were with the greats and you've described them beautifully. Well, I want to look at your CV. Your managers, or your principal managers, between them won 24 international trophies, either as coach or player. Your managers won 8 Champions Leagues. And I'm going to list them now. So we know about Rijkaard, Pepe Mel, he didn't win so many European trophies. Rijkaard, Pepe Mel, Roberto Martinez, Paulo Sousa, Brendan Rodgers, Gustavo Poyet, Oscar Garcia, Michael Laudrup.
Yeah.
Dude. Some pretty shit hot football people love to have you as their player. You confused me now because I do some research. You told me that, you said that it was Paulo Sousa persuaded you to come to Swansea.
No, to stay at Swansea.
Because Roberto Martinez is the guy, a fellow Catalan.
Yes.
I don't know what became of him, but maybe his career stayed quite nice. When you leave Alaves, you're taking a bet on yourself. And
yes.
You said that you read people well. So I guess you don't know Roberto too well, like maybe you knew him. But when he says to you, come to Swansea, I guess you say, where is that?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you the story. He saw me playing for Barcelona's first team in the Copa Catalunya that we spoke before. And he's friends with Jordi Cruyff.
Very close friends.
Yes. So Jordi Cruyff, I knew him from Alaves. He calls me and says, listen, Andrea, there is this manager, Roberto Martinez. He's a good friend of mine. Obviously, I didn't know anything about him. He's the coach of Swansea. Swansea, he sold me Swansea as the Chelsea's League One. Chelsea's from League One. So he's a club that, you know, they're going to win the league. They want to get promoted to the championship. You know, they're ambitious, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, okay, but where is Swansea? I didn't have a clue where Swansea was. So I checked. I thought, okay, that's Wales. I'll speak to him, you know, no problem. So Roberto calls me. Andrea, can you come to Swansea? I was under contract. I shouldn't talk about this, but I will do that for you and the listeners. So it's done. It's happened.
Listeners, this isn't going to be like front page headlines.
So they pay me a flight. So I go with my dad, and we went to Swansea. So we landed in Bristol. We had this guy Hugh Lake, the players liaison from Swansea.
I think he's still there.
He's still there, Lakey.
Yeah.
And he just puts this CD on the car. He had an old BMW, I remember, about Swansea songs. And it was that drive was an hour, 45 minutes of just Swansea songs. Where I couldn't speak any English. My dad, you know, could barely speak a bit. So we arrived at Swansea, a big headache, because honestly, my head was going to explode. But I didn't want to tell him, you know, the songs were a bit too much.
Do that music off.
So we arrived to Swansea, and then we go to the hotel. They put me in the best hotel at Swansea. And we go to the restaurant. Roberto Martinez is there, well-dressed, you know, very educated. And he tells me about Swansea, you know, the idea of Swansea, the ambition, the plan, 4 years in the Premier League. I said, okay. And he goes, let's have a look at the stadium. So we go to the stadium. He shows me the stadium. And he goes, because Roberto liked that, I can see, you know, the fans there, the Jack Army. I can see them singing your name, blah, blah, blah. So he showed me all about it. I said, okay, Roberto, that's great. Now I have a contract. So what can we do? And he said, no, we cannot pay. I said, well, that maybe, you know, this is not going to happen. But I said, thank you very much, for the opportunity you gave me to come here to know the club. So I just come back to Spain, start the pre-season with Alaves. What happens is Alaves goes into administration. So now there's the opportunity to
go free.
To go free. So I weighed my options, and I had a big offer from Greece, from Aris Saloniki, or a really bad offer from Swansea. In terms of
the financial difference between Swansea and Aris was huge.
Mm-hmm. And adding to that, you know, my family lost everything. So my dad lost his job. So all the good position we had disappeared. So my dad had to sell the house, and it was all.
Financial security is now
it's
vital,
gone,
not just for you,
but for my family. So I have a sister. My mom and dad, obviously, they lost the house, they lost the job. So it's all on me. And what do? You take the money, or you take the opportunity and say, okay, maybe now I'm not going to have the money, but you know.
How did you make that decision?
It was difficult, Graham. I didn't sleep. I lost a lot of hair. It was great. I was under a lot of pressure. I cried. But then I thought, I could see ahead and think and thought, listen, you know, maybe Greece now is the money, but in 2 years it's me done. My career is done. Swansea is a great opportunity to beat myself up and become a Premier League player, which was my dream. It wasn't easy, but I took the Swansea way, and obviously it worked. It could have gone, you know, either way.
Maybe. But in the moment, I think it says a lot for your analytical side. And by then, your faith in yourself. You talked earlier on about self-confidence or sufficient confidence, maturity, in order to back yourself or do the right things. And in that instance, you took decidedly the more risky route.
Absolutely, yes.
And I think many, many people, intelligent or stupid, would have said, look, the money now is the big thing. And nobody really could have criticized them for that. So whatever criteria you used to reach your decision, they were good ones.
And my friends used to tell me, oh, you are crazy, where are you going? What is League One? You know, Segunda B in England. You don't know the league, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, no, this is the right decision. You know, like Roberto Martinez really made me believe that was the right decisions. And once I signed the contract, Hugh Lay gave me a bag with my training kit. And he goes, well, you know, I'm picking you up at 4 o'clock, you know, get changed and I'll pick you up. And I'm thinking, why do I have to get changed in the hotel, you know, if there's a training ground? So I didn't get changed. But once we got into the training pitch, I understood why. There was no dressing room. So players were driving on their kits straight into the pitch.
So they're wearing the kits driving.
They're wearing the kit driving, just put their boots on and just train, back in the cars, go home and get showered. So I was getting changed in this car park, and I'm thinking,
Listen, in British car parks, that's a dangerous thing to be doing.
It was,
people can read the wrong signs into that.
But Graham, it was raining, it was cold already, it was 1st of September, because I signed the last day of the transfer window, and it was muddy, the pitch was muddy, we didn't have lights to train, and then again, I went back to the hotel, and I called my girlfriend, my wife now, and I said, what have I done? You know, this is crazy. But then again, my debut was at Elland Road, 32,000 full stadium packed.
Special atmosphere, special stadium,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Elland Road for me is my favorite stadium in the UK. The atmosphere there is rocking. I mean,
did you know about their history at all? I guess
I knew about Leeds.
Barcelona was a thing before you were born, but it's part of Leeds Barcelona and the Cruyff team, and Leeds knocking Barca out is part of history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I remember them. I actually bought the Leeds shirt, the Nike one, when they played in the Champions League against Barca, you know.
Wow.
I liked the badge. I liked the team. They had good players. Obviously, Viduka. I remember Alan Smith, Ian Hart, all these players. So I thought, okay, that's different. You know, this is why I came here, you know, to play in front of these crowds, these stadiums. I remember I was coming on. I was going to make my debut. We were 0-0. As I was coming on, they scored the first one. I come on, and the ball comes to me. That was my first ball in English football. And I remember the name of the player, David Pratton. So I thought, well, this is Spain. You know, I'll have time to control the ball and play. So this guy comes at the back of me, just pushes me away. I just landed 3 yards away of where I was. He takes the ball, shots, and scores. Oh. So I thought, and then my teammates were looking at me like, what are you doing? And I thought, okay, this is a wake-up call. Welcome to England. But then I played well. We lost the game 2-0. But then I understood straight away that
this quickly.
Yes, that I had to change. It took me 5 months to change, Graham. to get used to it, to the training regime, to the physical part of it, to the rhythm. And then I injured my knee as well, which didn't help.
Yeah.
So I was out for the rest of the season. That first season was really difficult, obviously, because what I said about my parents, the adaptations as well. Roberto, in a way, took me to Swansea, but now I thank him for that. He left me and the other, you know, Spanish players. He didn't help us too much because he wanted us to make it ourselves.
It's called tough love.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, you have to find your way. You have to find the language. You have to cope with the food, the temperature, the language,
everything. And now I thank him for that. At the time, it was difficult. I struggled. So that first year was really difficult, but we got promoted to the championship. The first 5 months were like this, where I was stopping, I was fouled, or I thought I was fouled, and the referees never gave me those fouls, and the fans got a bit frustrated with me as well. And now when I see, when I watch the games here, I can't have that. It's like, you know, I think, why is it not running? Why is it stopping?
Your heritage now is Catalan, Italian, Welsh, English.
Yeah, exactly.
Una mezcla.
Yes. But Roberto said one thing to me. There's two options here. Either you stay here for 6 months and want to go back home, or you will stay here for 10 years. And, you know, I took the second option. So I stayed in England for a long time because I loved it.
Our sponsors are Bet365, and they've asked, is Brendan Rodgers a future Premier League winning manager?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, he nearly got Liverpool, you know, champions. And I was really sad that, obviously, to have... you remember that Gerrard when he slipped and then Chelsea scored and they ended up losing that title. I didn't think Liverpool had the best team, but Brendan, you know, took the best out of those players and they believed in him. And he's someone who, look at Leicester now, the way they're playing, what they're doing, he's got it. He has something special in him, and he makes you believe in him. And one really good thing, if you're not playing, you look forward for the training sessions, even if you're not playing. And this is probably, if not the only manager I've had that had this, one of the few. Because when you're not playing, this is the most difficult part for a manager, to have players involved and, you know, ready to go and ready. So he made you hungry and he made you wanting to train and prove yourself in the training ground. And he's a great coach.
What did he do in training if somebody shouted, get rid of it?
He stopped training. He stopped training once when one player was under pressure and he was rushing, and one of the teammates shouted, get rid of the ball, get rid of it. And he stopped it. He went, stop. If you say that again, you're out. You know, you're not in this team. So this is what Brendan's all about.
I'm really interested in this answer because Bet365 also asked me to ask you, how will the top four finish in La Liga this season? So it's a long way away, so it's a guess. And, you know, if it's an unfair question, I'll go first. But how do you think the top four finished this season at the end of La Liga?
For me, Graham, this season, at the start of the season, if I looked at the teams, I thought, well, Atletico Madrid will be challenging Barcelona for the title. Seeing how they started, I still think that Barcelona has it and will end up winning the La Liga. Even though Real Madrid, with all the problems they had, they are capable of overturning these kind of situations and winning games with quite ease, but I can't see them consistent enough. Now, Barca, without Messi, they started without Messi, physically in not top condition, struggling away from home. Once they get it right, well, they're still top of the league, so I'm assuming that once they get it right, for me, they are favourites to win it. So
one Barca,
then it will be either Real or Atletico Madrid. I'll go for Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and probably Sevilla. These are my top four. I wish probably Real Sociedad being one of the top four, but
because of their brand of football.
Yes, I love the way they play, and I love the players they have. A lot of left-footed, you know, talented players out there. So I can see myself being part of that team. So that's why I
can make a phone call if you want.
Not anymore.
And this before we finish, because we can't stop without talking about your love of Brighton and a mutual friend working for Gosport, which is just must have been the experience of a lifetime. I'm really serious about this. This is because of how highly I rate what I listen to when I hear you doing TV analysis of football. Our sponsors, Bet365, want to know, what would you like to see and hear more of in football punditry or football analysis?
Well, obviously, for me, when I was watching TV and watching football programs, what I really like, it's the pure part of football. I mean, the tactical analysis, or not only that, also what really happens in the dressing room. Why is the coach picking this player? The thought behind it. Because normally people sit down and see, he's changed the formation. He should be playing this player, that player. So everyone, sitting at home on the sofa is quite easy to be coaches. So when I see a TV program and I see people explaining why, giving the reasons behind that a manager's decision or a tactical decision or a tactical change, this is what I really like to see. The insight, what really happens in the dressing room, to give to the viewers something that they won't normally get because they haven't been into a dressing room. So, being able to explain to them why things happen, what's the reason behind them, how they happened as well. What's the thought process of a coach, picking one player, in front of the other, making decisions, making the substitution. So this is what I really like. This is football. Mm. This is football. It's not like, no, he doesn't like him or he doesn't like his wife. Or no, I really like the talking about football, pure football.
This has been the big interview. Everybody listening to the big interview, I told you. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Back Page. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.